Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to trust you, to trust your sovereignty, to trust your providence, to walk in faith that knows the very presence of power of God as we seek to do your will, all to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My high school graduation, so this is from a long time ago. My high school graduation was just a couple weeks away. And plans for the summer were set to work full-time at McDonald's. I had already been working McDonald's part-time for the past 2 years. This coming summer, I'd be working full-time to earn as much money as possible before heading off to the Ohio State University in the fall to begin my studies in mechanical engineering. My summer was set, so I thought, till I met a man named Steve that would set a whole new direction. Let me tell you how. Every May, down in Oakwood, outside Dayton, Ohio, down in Oakwood in May, every May is a celebration called That Day in May. Original title, isn't it? That Day in May happens in May. The morning would begin with a parade, and then the rest of the day would be having activities at the high school and in the stadium field. I began that day in May in my band uniform, lined up to march that couple of miles or so, and it would be my last time marching in the band. Then I would head home to change into shorts and t-shirt to go and help with a climbing demonstration that we had set up in the field. Now, beginning with ninth grade, a few years earlier, I'd been learning and helping a climbing class, teaching a climbing class taught by the Oakwood Fire Chief at the elementary school. And each week, I'd help set up the portable climbing wall and help teach fourth through sixth graders the proper way to tie climbing knots and learn climbing technique, because climbing knots are different than a lot of other knots. So that day in May, my senior year, just before I was graduating, we brought the climbing wall out to the field, and we set it up in the field to give the kids in the community a chance to have a climbing experience. I was up on the wall, on the platform, to help the kids get ready to rappel down. So they'd climb up, and then they would rappel down. Now, up on the platform, I had first-hand place to see the kids' faces. And they were wonderful when they start to lean back and lean back some more and lean back some more. Keep your legs straight. You have to keep your legs straight as you lean back and off the platform. They gave some really good looks to me, huh? And others like that. Some were terrified, some were excited. But they'd lean back, and soon they'd be over the edge and on their way down to the ground about 20 feet below. And from up there, 20 feet looking down is pretty high up as you lean back, trusting. In the midst of helping the kids rappel down, a man in a Boy Scout uniform comes up and begins a conversation with me up on the platform, way up there, and I'm going way down there. Would I be interested in coming down and talking to him about summer camp? Specifically, teaching climbing at a Boy Scout summer camp that summer. I came down and I learned some more, set up a time for Steve to come over to my house to visit my parents to talk with them about what this opportunity would be. Steve was a part of the Central Ohio District of the Boy Scouts of America. The district office is on 161 there in Columbus. It's now called Simon Kenton Council, but back then it was the Central Ohio Council. Would I come and consider working summer camp? Camp Lazarus, north of Columbus on Route 23, just before Delaware. And back then, there was nothing north of Columbus before Delaware except a thing or that. Now it's all grown up in all sorts of stores. But Camp Lazarus, north of Columbus, almost to Delaware. And there's also Camp Longhorn down in southeast Ohio, just outside of Logan, Ohio, in the Hocking Hills area. If I was interested, I would be teaching high adventure merit badges. I would be the high adventure program director because I knew how to climb. And I knew climbing knots and climbing technique. But I'd be teaching climbing, hiking, camping, orienteering, and wilderness survival. And by the way, camp will start in 3 weeks. Staff training, 3 weeks away. Now, growing up, I had been to camp in a camp setting like that only maybe twice. One weekend or so in fifth grade, went to nature camp and spent a weekend there. And then summer before sixth grade, I spent a week at camp at safety patrol camp because I would be the captain of my safety patrol when my sixth grade year would come. Now here, just about to graduate from high school, the opportunity to live in a tent for 10 weeks in the woods, a whole change of direction to something I have never done before. It takes faith. This takes faith. Faith. Have you ever had an opportunity in a life that stepping out in that direction would take faith? A direction you've never gone before, a direction you haven't even thought about before. But along comes a moment and God says, come this way. A direction you've never considered, yet the opportunity is there before you. Would you go? Did you go? If so, it takes faith. It takes faith. Let's join the disciples in chapter 10 of Luke. And we know from chapter 9, the setting of chapter 10, is chapter 9 concludes with Jesus resolutely heading towards Jerusalem and then having that conversation with three who would not pay the cost to follow Jesus. Each one went away unable to put their hand to the plow without looking back, as it's described in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." So those group went away. Those three went away. But around Jesus was a larger group of followers, the disciples. Would they be able to put their hands to the plow and not look back so that they would be fit for service in the kingdom of God? How do you find out? Okay, let's find out. Simply send them out two by two in the service of the kingdom of God. You will find out if they put their hand to the plow and steadily keep going forward. Because Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing here in Luke chapter 10, sending them out into the harvest field. But there's important caveats given with it. Jesus stipulates the way they are to go. First, two by two. 72 will be sent out two by two. And even more important is the way they should go. Without purse, without bag, without sandals, and don't greet anyone on the road. You are to simply head straight for the place to stay. Stay in that home, eating whatever is placed before you. And Jesus also says, by the way, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Go anyways. This takes faith. Really think about that. It takes faith. No purse. That is, take no money with you. No bag. It means take no provisions, no food items. So no money, no food. How are you going to eat? No money, no food. It takes faith. Take no sandals. It means what you have on your feet, go with that. But extra things like extra clothes, extra sandals, extra this, don't bother with it. You just go. And you're going as a lamb among wolves. Go as a lamb? Would you like to be a lamb among wolves? What about your safety? How would you survive? No money, no provisions. How would you eat? What would you eat? Would you go hungry? Would you go? This takes faith, trusting the Lord God. For the Lord God is the one sending you. The Lord is the one doing the action. And you are to walk with the Lord, trusting trusting. It takes faith. Okay, so we had those three that could not follow. They left. What about you? Will you follow? Well, I'm going to send you out as lambs among wolves. Take no purse, take no money, take no provisions, just go. And when you find a house, stay there. Let your peace come upon it. And eat whatever's placed before you. One more thing. Jesus is sending them out before him into the towns that Jesus was about to go to. And Jesus tells them, heal the sick and preach the kingdom of God is near. So put this all in your mind's picture. You're a lamb among wolves, no money, no provision, nothing extra at all. Just go as you are, heal and preach. Just as Jesus has been doing. Just as you've been watching Jesus do these past year or two or three, go and do the same. Now it's the disciples' turn to walk in the ministry as Jesus has been walking in the ministry. This takes faith. Looking back through time, looking back through history, and as you know, I love history. Looking back through history again and again, great moments of epoch-turning events, there you will find a group of people stepping out in faith. Think of the missionary era, when Christian missionaries were being sent all directions, all around the globe. Hudson Taylor, for example, planning to go to China, and before he went, he determined to live in England by faith, seeking prayer to answer all his needs of provision. Because he had to learn in England first before heading to China to trust God and live by faith. Because in China, the only thing he could count on was prayer and faith in God. There wouldn't be anyone he could count on because he was going inland China by himself. Then there's Gladys Aylward, who in October of 1930, she sent out from London with her passport, her Bible, her ticket, and £2.09 to travel to China by the Trans-Siberian Railway, making her way to Yangchen. Eventually, the Mandarin requested her to be a foot inspector to verify that the woman's feet were no longer being bound. You know, this would offer incredible opportunity to travel and tell others about Jesus. And I'm quoting from Women of Christianity's website biography of Gladys. During her second year in Yangchen, Gladys was summoned by the Mandarin. A riot had broken out in the men's prison. She arrived and found that the convicts were rampaging in the prison courtyard and several had been killed. The soldiers were afraid to intervene. The warden of the prison said to Gladys, "Go into the yard and stop the rioting." She said, "How can I do that?" The warden said, "You have been preaching that those who trust in Christ have nothing to fear." She walked into the courtyard and shouted, "Quiet! I cannot hear when everyone is shouting at once. Choose one or two spokesmen and let me talk with them." The men quieted down, chose their spokesman. The riot ended. To enter a prison like that, in the midst of a riot, where the guards were afraid to go, Gladys went. This takes faith. This past week, celebrating the 243rd anniversary of independence, began with that signing a Declaration of Independence. That signing was an epoch-changing moment. For the first time in writing, the rights of us were written out as given by the Creator. Not from the king, not from anyone in power, but from God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That word unalienable. Sometimes others say inalienable. Unalienable. It's an adjective. It means not to be separated, given, or taken away. In other words, these rights are intrinsic to who we are as human beings created in the image of God. Rights coming from God as opposed to the British Bill of Rights as understood by British common law, where rights were granted by the royal sovereign. Rights granted by the ruler can be taken away by the ruler. Rights granted by government can be taken away by government. Unalienable rights endowed by the Creator are rights that no man, no king, no government can take away. A revolutionary understanding, and it paved the way for freedom unknown of before. And it planted the seeds that would end slavery. Created equal, that would change the course of human events. The facts of the tyranny of the King of Britain are laid out plain and submitted to a candid world. And in it, they appeal to the supreme judge of the world for rectitude of intentions. Rectitude means rightness and moral virtue of declaring the states free and equal. And for the support of this was a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. They're appealing to God, and they mutually pledge to each other lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. This takes faith to do such a thing. You and I, we're the beneficiaries of their firm reliance on divine providence, their faith in the living God and the Lord Jesus Christ. These signers knew there would be specific targets sought out and punished for their audacity to declare independence from the greatest military power, but still doing so what is right and good and proper. They are placing faith in living God. Time and time again, faith in God was not misplaced as wonder after wonder happened to eventually independence happening. Independence that places a firm reliance and dependence on the Lord God. This takes faith. Now, I don't know if it troubles you, but it troubles me greatly, the disdain that is espoused today for the founding fathers and the founding principles, as shown by the contrived controversy over the Betsy Ross flag on some tennis shoes. The TV, talking heads, heaping contempt over a planned patriotic 4th of July celebration in Washington, D.C., even before the event begins. The push towards government control of things by couching it in the words universal health care, universal free college for all. Advocating socialism, communism, which means government is God and you have no freedom. Look what has happened to Cuba and Venezuela under communism. And look to China. What's happening to the church in China under communism? Persecution. There is no freedom. Look back in history. See what it takes to live by faith. It takes a lot of faith to do bold things. In your own life, are you living by faith? Faith that in Jesus Christ you are truly forgiven of all your sins. You are redeemed with that hope and joy truly and fully placed in the living God. Knowing that this earth is not your home. Heaven is your home. Knowing that while on earth, and it takes faith to do it, while on earth you are to share Jesus Christ. For it is the most important work you can do. Living this way takes faith. You heard it described this morning in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Living this way is not easy. It takes faith. And to pledge your lives, your fortunes, and sacred honor to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, like Hudson Taylor or Gladys Aylward or the other missionaries I can go through history, it takes faith. Answering the foolishness of today's relativizing and rewriting of history. Answering that foolishness. It takes faith. The younger generations just do not know. They're not being taught the history and the faith that it took to bring that history about. Step out in faith. Take no purse, no bag, no sandals. Just go and make a difference. Tell the others, especially the younger generations, about the faith in Jesus Christ that has shaped history, particularly our history as a nation that is so powerful, but yet uses it for good, not conquering, but for setting free. Oh, so much more I want to say. And you know I could go on for hours, but I know you don't want me to. But oh, I could go on for hours and hours because my heart burns with passion about the intersection of faith lived out in daily life as it is seen through history. Especially the history of missionaries, the history of the United States, and its founding in particular. But suffice to say, there comes a point in life that you just have to walk by faith. To place it all in the line and trust God. The disciples in Luke 10 were given a little taste of what was to come. They were sent out on short-term, first-hand experience to preach the gospel and heal. They were given a little taste of what was to come. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus then, a part of his response to them, verse 20. "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus knew the day would come when he'd ascend to heaven. And those disciples then would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they would be sent out in Holy Spirit power to preach the kingdom of God to the whole world. Repent and believe and be forgiven of all your sins. And freedom, real true freedom, comes in Christ because you are created in the image of God. And God has given you unalienable rights. The faith the disciples lived by and preached would eventually through history move a group of believers to leave their home. And this group of believers was inspired to plant a place that would be a shining light upon a hill in the new world. Hardships would face them. About half of them would die that first winter. But their faith fortified their fortitude and their longing to freely worship the living God. The pilgrims gave birth to this nation blessed by God. And as I said earlier, I don't know if you're troubled, but I'm really troubled about what is happening. And I can just list a whole bunch of things with Antifa as a part of it. But what I'm seeing, and I don't know if you're seeing it too, we are approaching an epic changing moment. And the forces of evil are battling for the soul of this nation. And so I say to you, this takes faith. Taking the truth of the Word of God, living by that truth daily, in trust in such a manner to impact and change the course of history for the glory of God. Socialism, communism, government is God. There is no freedom. But where you say the Judeo-Christian values and ethics and faith, there's freedom. What would you prefer to live in? And much more, what would you prefer your grandchildren and great-grandchildren to live in? We are approaching an epic changing moment, and the forces of evil are battling for the soul of this nation. If you don't see that in the news, speak with me and I'll help you. So it's us to take this faith and go out two by two, taking the truth of the Word of God, trusting God in such a manner to impact and change the course of history to where it is good, righteous, and holy. All for the glory of God. This takes faith. It takes faith. We have the faith. We have the faith. Amen and amen.